Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Well, welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. We are so excited to share this interview with you today that we did with Rachel Myers and Amanda Williams from She Reads Truth. Rachel and Amanda are wives, moms, and authors, but most importantly, they are followers of Christ who are just so passionate about seeing women get in the Word of God every day. So in today's interview, we discuss how moms can actually do that in the little years by, first of all, changing their expectations and intentionally reading scripture alongside a community of other women. So as a special treat to Risen Motherhood listeners, they also wanted you guys to get 10% off anything from She Reads Truth, the shop, from November 1st through November 8th. And we would really encourage you to check out their Advent reading series along with all of the beautiful prints that accompany it. So the code for that is RISEN10, and you can find more of their stuff at shereadstruth.com and risenmotherhood.com in our show notes. So here's Amanda and Rachel. Well, hi, Amanda and Rachel. Thank you so much for being on Risen Motherhood today.
Hi. Thank you so much for having us. What a fun treat.
Yeah, we are so excited. Can you guys just start us off with kind of maybe taking turns for each of you to tell us a little bit about yourself and maybe about your family makeup? Especially, we're probably all interested in your kiddos.
Yeah, totally. Go for it, Ray. You go first.
All right. Wow. Yeah, I'm Rachel. And I've been married to my husband for 14 and a half years now. And so he and I actually met when we were 7 years old, grew up as just like really good friends, and started dating when we were 16 and got married when we were 20. And so we just have this like lifelong friendship that we got to base our marriage on. But now it's strange because our daughter is 7. And so it's strange to go like, ah. Like, certainly there's nobody now in her class that she would marry. But yeah, so we have a 10-year-old son he's just about to turn 11, and he's also just about to surpass me in height, which is insane.
Oh, wow.
It's weird to have a whole person that's like the same size as you, but like, you know, he came out of you and like, like kind of like belongs to you. It's just a really bizarre, I'm sure the moms listening can also agree. It's just bizarre to like watch them like grow because you're not growing, but they just get bigger and bigger, and it's bizarre. Anyway, and so we have a 7-year-old daughter. Our 11-year-old is Oliver, and our 7-year-old is Hazel. And then we also have a daughter who would be turning 10 this spring. Her name was Evie Grace, and she passed away. She was stillborn, but she is always worth mentioning when people ask about our family, and especially I think with an audience like this who they are in the trenches of motherhood, the good, the bad, and the really difficult. And so probably our story is unique to some, but not to all. And so our little Evie Grace was born with trisomy 9. She passed away just before she was born, but she was wonderful. And she just continues to be one of the Lord's greatest kindnesses and greatest mercies to our family because of the way that, even through her little life, the way that he drew us to himself and to his word, honestly, and to the way that we just kind of had to truly anchor in the word through that time. So she would be turning 10 this spring. We miss her a lot.
Well, thanks for being willing to be vulnerable and share that. I know Laura and I are both walking through the very early stages of kiddos who have different kinds of special needs. And we definitely have talked to a lot of moms who've lost infants in the womb, out of the womb. And so I know there's going to be a lot of moms that relate to that. So thanks for sharing.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, this is Amanda. I am married to my husband, David. We've been married 14 years. It's funny because Rachel and I have only been friends for a little over 5 years. But our our timelines are very similar. So I've been married 14 years to my husband, David, and we have three children who are the same ages as Rachel's children. We have a little girl who's 10 and twin boys who are 7. And we live here, just outside of Nashville. She and I are both Nashvillians, but we're on both on the outskirts of Nashville, and we're kind of on opposite ends. And so door to door, we're an hour apart, but we're both. Wow. Yeah. So, we're in the same place right now. We're in our office, but yeah. So, so that's our family. So we've, really, I'm just thankful for our husbands who are very much a part of not just our family life, obviously, but our ministry as She Reads Truth, and our kiddos are too. They participate. Yep. So we're just really thankful. It's a family affair.
Wonderful. Yeah. Well, let's talk about She Reads Truth. I know that this is a wonderful ministry that a lot of our listeners utilize, and you guys recently came out with a new Bible that we were commenting that it is one of the most, well, it is the most beautiful Bible that we have ever seen. And so can you guys tell us a little bit about the heart behind She Reads Truth and kind of where the ministry is at today?
Yeah. Well, She Reads Truth, the very simplest way to say what She Reads Truth is, I mean, of course, our mission is pretty memorable. It's women in the Word of God every day, but we really mean that. And it's more than just women in the Word of God every day, but it's a whole community of women. Right now, it's I think daily it's almost 500,000 women who are opening Scripture together, which just blows our minds. We try and keep our head down and not think about that because it's pretty overwhelming. We leave that to the Lord. And even if it were so fewer, this is just an incredible opportunity. But the big deal is that even 5 years ago, there was this feeling for Amanda and for myself of wanting to be in the Word, but just needing help. Needing help to know where, like, I want to read the Bible today, but where, you know? And really, that's what She Reads Truth is. It's so simple. It's painfully simple. And we love that. And we never want to lose that. It is simply just... is really just giving direction. And we don't add a lot to it. That's not the point, because we really believe that we say the Bible is for you and it's for now. And it's not for when you're smarter or when you're in a different season of life or anything like that. And it is meant for you, however you understand it, because we truly believe what the Bible says, that it is living and active and that the Holy Spirit is right there with us when we're reading and we can invite him. And so we think everybody is equipped to read the Bible. And so really we read through books of the Bible. Right now we are reading through a bunch of minor prophets, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, and Micah. We're kind of running through five of them in 3 weeks, I think. But it's just great. It's great for anybody who even like who's listening to the podcast today, who woke up this morning and thought, I know I should be in the Word. I know I want to be in the Word, but what am I supposed to open right this second? And so She Reads Truth is for that girl and a lot of other types of girls too, but we're for that girl who just says, I need to read the Bible today. And she can open up the She Reads Truth app or go to shereadstruth.com, and we guarantee we're reading something today, and you can read it with us and you won't be reading it alone, because there are women all over the place reading that same passage and talking about it. And so it's just a vehicle for women to, you know, we talk about that we're not necessarily, I mean, part of what we want to do is to reach the unreached with Scripture, but a big part of what we do is to get the already reached to reach for their Bibles.
So to bring that down to just specifically even for you guys as moms, and you can relate, I know, to our audience really well, and a lot of them are in the really little years, 4 and under, 5 and under, especially a lot of diaper changes, nursing, things like that. Taking that tagline of women in the Word of God every day, I love that. But why do you think that it's important for the mom particularly to be connected to the vine?
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you say connected to the vine, because we were just talking about John 15 before we picked up the phone.
Yeah. Oh, funny.
But yeah, I mean, it's funny too, because you're talking about our families and the timeline of She Reads Truth. Our children were very small when the community of She Reads Truth began. And so we were those moms with small children who wanted to be, and just like Rachel said, who just, you know, had a desire to be in Scripture and a heart to know God, and just kind of felt overwhelmed. I mean, I can speak for myself, felt overwhelmed in many areas of life, including motherhood, but also including a spiritual life, like just wondering where to start. And so I think it's very important for mothers to be connected to the vine, like you said, to Jesus and to God's word. But honestly, I don't know that it's any more important than it is for any of us. Mm-hmm. Like it's important for the mother because it's important for humans. Mm-hmm. You know, it's important for us as women, as God's children who are made in his image, to know our maker and to know who he is, who we are in him. And one of the primary ways that he has given to us, one of a grace that he has given us, is scripture and is his word. And so it has been protected, you know, for us so that we can read it now, even though, you know, it was written thousands of years ago. And it is given to us it never changes. Like our seasons of life change. You know, we may have small children and then those children grow up. And then one day those children are out of the home. And then even women who are listening now who long to be mothers, but maybe aren't yet, you know, our life is constantly changing, but God's word stays the same. And God's word remains even when everything, you know, the Bible says that the world will pass away, but his words will not pass away. And so that's why, I mean, that is the thing that we can count on, because, you know, as moms, like we love our children, we love our families, but we are not perfect. And so we have a father who is good and who loves us and who is perfect. And we, when we need a sure thing, we open his word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like Amanda was saying, you know, it is important for moms to be in the word, just like it is important for human beings to be in the word. But she and I were actually talking earlier today about that. I think even just anticipating this podcast and talking about that it's tough in that season of motherhood to be in the word and to make time for that. In the same way that it's tough in every season. Honestly, I don't know that there's a season where it's easy. And I think that there's reason for that. And I think that no matter what season we're in, there is a certain level of discipline. I mean, it's Amanda and I, our job is to read the Bible. And it is still a challenge to carve out that time where it is just us and the Lord and not a task mm-hmm. list. And, yeah. And so it is, and I don't say that to discourage moms who are like, wait, it's hard now and it's always going to be hard. Cool. But I say that to say, don't wait. Don't wait for a more convenient time to develop a relationship with the Lord and his word, because there will always be a reason that it's hard and there will always be a reason that it's inconvenient. There will always be something more pressing. But, and so I say that to say, fight for it, because this is worth it right now in this season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rachel often says, and so I'm gonna quote you, Rachel, that, you know, that we know, especially those of us who have known Jesus for a long time, like maybe we've known Jesus since we were kids, and we know that the Bible is, we know that it's his word, we know that it's important to read it, but there is a difference between knowing that it's important and understanding that it's urgent. And so we believe that reading the Bible is not just important, that it's urgent, that it is a primary means that God sustains us and breathes life into us. And it is the way that we know him. And so it's no wonder that we are at a loss for how to know him better when we are not in his word, because that's what his word does for us. And the thing is, I think the more time you spend in his word, the more you understand how vital it is. And so I think that's why it's so important what Rachel just said, is just start somewhere. We say that so often. It's like, guys, there's, you know, we want so badly, especially in our social media age where we have, you know, blog posts of 5 ways to do this, or, you know, if we want to know the best product to buy, we Google it. Like we want the right answer the first time, you know. Mm-hmm. And the thing with knowing God is that there is not a formula. We would have figured it out by now, right? Like there's no formula, and there's no formula for reading your Bible. It is simply starting somewhere. It's all his word. So just start.
Wow, there was so many amazing truths in there.
I mean, you just get us started and we'll just keep going.
We have strong feelings on the topic.
I just love it. I love it because, especially like you're saying, don't wait, because I think that we all tell ourselves this kind of tale, like, okay, this trial is going to be over and then I've arrived. Like, there's no more trials after that. If I can just get through this thing. And so I'm going to put off my Bible reading and, you know, my prayer life and these things until I get out of this trial. And I know I heard from a wiser older woman one time tell me, like, a huge light bulb went off whenever she realized, no, like, life is one trial and then it changes to a different trial and a different one, and a different one. And again, that's not to be discouraging, but encouraging to say there, do it now. I love that. And in terms of our children, realizing that they are, if we're trying to pass along the gospel to them, the best thing we can do is to be knowing God and finding joy in Him in our own lives. And if we're not doing that, it's going to be very, very difficult to be an authentic overflow to them. So thanks for sharing.
Well, and there's so much beauty in the trial. And, you know, we say there beauty in the mess and the messiness of motherhood, you know, these are these phrases that we've all kind of gotten used to of late. But I mean, it's true that there's beauty within that. And I think that reading God's word is one of the ways that the Holy Spirit opens our eyes to the beauty and to the work that God is already doing right where we are. And so, it is true that our inclination is to wait until we feel like, okay, now I'm ready. But in that way, it's kind of like motherhood. Like, you're not really ready. You just start, right? And so, I think in those trials and in the tough seasons is like they are. I mean, life is kind of one tough season after another. Like, there's something tough even about the good seasons. You know, when you're in a good season, it's tough to, you know, really keep your perspectives, you know, your perspective right and your priorities straight and all of that. Like, when things are too easy in a way, and then when things are really hard, you're like, okay, I've got my perspective right, but I just can't even stay above water. And so I feel like there's struggle on both sides of that fence. And that's one of the reasons it's so important to be rooted in the Word of God, because if we rely on our emotions to direct us where we're going to go, you know, where are we going to end up? Like, we need to rely on the Lord and the wisdom that we find in His word and His revelation of Himself to us. That's what we use as our guide.
Yes. You mentioned something there about if we rely on our emotion. There are a lot of ways to study the Bible. We've kind of talked about that there are many ways, and most importantly, to just start. But there are also some ways that maybe when engaging in study aren't the smartest things to do. So can you guys talk to some of those common pitfalls that you do see women falling into in their study of scripture?
That's a good question.
The first thing I think about is something, it's funny, Amanda and I've had so many conversations about this lately, but I think one of the first pitfalls is calling it quiet time.
Yeah. So true.
Because there's a big expectation that just gets built all around that. Especially for moms.
Oh, yes.
It's true. Yeah,
right.
I'll tell you.
No such thing.
Sunday, I was sick, really, like, too sick for church. Just had a cold, sore throat, couldn't swallow. And I was like, okay, well, you know, we're going to stay home today. So we stayed home all day Sunday, literally never left the house. But here's what the Lord did for me on that day that I couldn't go to church. And this is going to sound nerdy and, like weirdly, like, I'm very holy, but it's neither of those things. But we're preparing to study the book of Exodus for Lent. And so I have, you know, one of the things, it's my job to prepare for that and to become familiar with that book. And so I knew I wanted to read the book of Exodus over the weekend. And on Sunday morning, I still hadn't done it. And I was like, okay, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm in the middle of, this is where it gets nerdy. I'm in the middle of a cross-stitch pattern that I'm working on for the She Reads Truth Advent book. And I really wanted to test it before we put the pattern in the book. I'm a needlework nerd, and I appreciate that some people accept that about me. So I sat down in our living room, turned the fire on, and I sat down in the living room, first thing in the morning, got out my cross-stitch pattern and got out my phone and just turned on an audio version of the Book of Exodus. I required nothing of anybody. Like, everyone was allowed to do whatever they wanted. And that was evidently, we can call that my quiet time for the day. But I sat in that chair. I don't even know that I ate lunch. Like, I just sat in that chair through the entire book, like, all day long. It was hours. And in and out throughout the whole day, my family came to be with me. I was sick, and so I just really didn't move. I don't feel like, I won't apologize. I'm sick. But they just came, like, my daughter Hazel came and laid kind of like on a blanket at, like, in front of the fire, so near my feet, and like just listened to the parts of Exodus where, like, the plagues, she was there for that, and like the crossing of the Red Sea and Miriam's song. And like, as the Bible, like, as the audio thing is reading Miriam's song, she starts singing along with it because she learned that song in school. And so she just, like, she came and she worshiped with me in a, like, this sweet way to, like, thank the Lord for all the good he's done for us. And then she went on with her day. And, like, later on, you know, we were getting to the part about the instructions for the temple. And my husband was sitting there reading his own book, like a business book. And he's sitting on the sofa, and I'm still cross-stitching and still listening to Exodus. And he came, and he was there for that part. And he just kept lifting his head up and, like, laughing and being interested in all the details that went into designing the temple, because he's a designer, and it's just fascinating to read about. I can't pronounce his name, Amanda. What's the designer's name?
Oh gosh, don't put me on the spot. I don't know.
Beziel, whatever that
is. I can't say it either. Anyway, talking and I'll find,
like,
it.
It was just interesting conversation as the book went on. And then by the end of the day, I'd moved out to the back porch, and it was the very end where, like, Moses is, like, putting up the posts of the temple for the first time, and, like, they're putting the canvas over it or whatever. And like, I stopped it and rewound it, like, three times, because, like, that last part of chapter 20, it's like where the temple gets set up and then God's cloud comes and inhabits the temple. It's like when the Holy of Holies becomes the Holy of Holies. And, like, as a family, we were just, like, our eyes were wide and we were like, wow, like, we'd never, like, paid attention to, like, the moment when the temple became the temple. Mm. And so there was no, like, formulaic, like, here's quiet time for me today. But it was just this, like, gift that, like, the Lord knew that, like, I had a hunger for just, like, spending, like, for knowing him. And he carved out this time for our family where we just kind of all got to come in and out of, like, his word being read. And it was our unquiet time where it was just, like, a part of our day. And I realize that's not every Sunday or anybody's real life ever, but it was a wonderful little happy gift day where we got to just listen to scripture. Maybe we weren't going to read it out loud and we weren't going to impose it on anybody in the family, but everyone was blessed by the reading of the word in our house. And it was a really sweet time.
What I really love that you're describing there, was beautiful story, is like this bringing together of, like, your discipline and, like, your intentional choice to sit down and say, I'm going to listen to this. And also, like you said, non-quiet time, non-formulaic thing, mm-hmm. where there's also, like, God made that into what he wanted it for you, you know, that day. And so sometimes we don't want to be disciplined. We want it to just, like, kind of magically happen or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. Be this organic thing. So it does require that intentional first step, but then mm-hmm. I love that you didn't box it into that either. Yeah. And allowed, you to just infiltrate your whole day and your family. And I feel like that's true a lot of times of quiet time, which maybe we'll all start a campaign to quit calling it. Bible study time is this combination of, like, I am going to sit down and, like, make time for this. And God, I'm also going to let interruptions happen. And I'm going to see where you're directing my time for this, you know, this study.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times my car does this thing where when I crank the car, a lot of times if I've been listening to something, it'll pick up. But for some reason, the volume's always up really loud. And so the kids will get in the car and it'll be like, and the Lord said, and they all freak out. But I love that. Rachel hadn't told me that story. So I love that image of your family. And I can just picture you guys in your living room and that happening. And I think, you know, you asked about common pitfalls. And I really think that is one of the big ones, is not the boxing in, you know, like expecting that it should look a certain way, or kind of putting these false restrictions or expectations on ourselves that the Lord never puts on us, to be clear. You know, like, he, you know, there are passages in the Bible, you know, where it's just to go into your closet and pray, and where Jesus pulled away from the crowd. And so there is precedent. I mean, even in the Psalm, you know, like seeking the Lord in the morning, there is, there are places where it calls for that. But I think somewhere along the way, we feel like, okay, well, that's the one way that it looks. And then when it doesn't look that way, we feel like we failed, or that we're not spiritual enough, or that the Lord is disappointed in us. And I just, that grieves my heart when it, for especially young mothers, and really just women in general. I think women put, and I don't know if this is true of men, I've never been a man, but I think women put so many, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves as to what our time and God's word should look like. And what makes me really sad about that is that it steals our joy, because the joy of reading God's word is the connection with our Father. And, you know, and to insist that it be at a certain time of day, or that it be uninterrupted, or that it be a certain length, any of those things automatically takes the focus off of God's word and puts it back on our effort. And our effort is never going to be perfect. And so, one of our primary encouragements, is really just to, for women, is just to read and be open to what that looks like in different seasons. Be open to what that looks like on different days of the week, you know, and like, yes, like definitely find space and time to read God's word in quiet alone if you can, but also read God's word with your family, read God's word when you're, you know, in line at the drive-thru at the bank, like read God's word, like in the car pickup line. So many women, when the She Reads Truth app first came out, we had so many women who commented on how they were thankful to have to have access to God's word, into devotionals and stuff when they were in the pickup line waiting for their kids at school, because all of us, you know, so many of us spend, it's a solid, like 15 minutes of our day that we're just kind of trapped. Right. And so, anyway, so I think that is a common pitfall, is just sort of our own expectation.
Yeah, I really appreciate how you guys are looking at this in really creative ways. I know that I am very much a creature of habit. I really enjoy my routine, which as a mom of little kids, there isn't a lot of routine, so that can be very difficult. But I love how you guys are looking at it of, it doesn't have to be at the same time. It doesn't have to be the same style. I mean, just to think about, like, let's listen to a whole book during the day. You know, you think about how many people have TVs running throughout the whole day, just in the background, and maybe they're paying attention, maybe they're not. And I just love that instead it's the word of God, you know, speaking over your home throughout the day. And so I think that's a really great encouragement for moms to get creative with how they get the word of God into their souls and into their minds, because there are so many ways in the world that we live in today. Our only option is not just the Bible, which is a wonderful gift to have the Bible in printed text, but we have so many options. And so I think that's a great encouragement to mothers. And to kind of tag onto that for you guys in closing here, what kind of encouragement would you give young mothers today?
Gosh, so much.
Somebody was just telling me the other day, they were like, alive till five. That's the rule. Then we sell them. Like, just keep them close.
That was our ad. Yeah. Was that our rule with our twins. Yeah. We met 5 years old, but 5 o'clock in the day was
awesome. Oh, I thought it was like, until they were 5 years old.
Yeah.
Speaking of, Amanda, I did not know you had twin boys, and I have twin boys that are turning four this fall, and offline, I may have to ask you some questions.
You're doing great. All I know
about how to survive.
That is enough information for me to know that you're doing great. Encouragement for young mothers.
I never want to be the old lady that's like, it goes so fast.
Oh my gosh.
Don't say that. That's the first thing you can say, Rachel.
Well, you know, the first thing I'm always want to say to moms when I see them out. So I have from twin mom to twin mom, I sort of have a rule. When I see a mother of infant or toddler twins out in public, I make a point to go over to her and tell her she's doing a great job.
And I think, somebody said that to
me. Oh my gosh. Like it was hard, and motherhood is just hard. You know, it's not just, I don't know that mothering twins is any harder, but it's, you know, it's definitely logistically challenging. But, one of the things that I always needed to hear and have like the urge to say to young moms is that you're not alone. It feels so isolating. I think mm-hmm. mothering young children, whether you're a stay-at-home mom of young children or if you're a working mom of young children, when you're a working mom, sometimes you can feel like you're the only working mom. And when you're the stay-at-home mom, sometimes you feel like I'm the only, you know, human. There are no more adults. There are no adults over the age of 5 in the world. It's just me. And I don't have anyone to talk to. And so you're not alone. And not just are there other mothers all over the place who are in it with you, even if they're not physically present there with you. Jesus is with you. My mother-in-law is precious. And she has always told her kids when she tucked them in at night, the last thing she says to them, and she's still, they're grown, mind you, I'm married to one of them. She's still, and so when she tucks my kids in and I had her grandchildren in, the last thing she says is, Jesus is with you. And it almost got on my nerves a little. I sound like a terrible person right now, but it's true, because I just thought, like, well, that's real sweet, but like, what does that mean? But it was so simple that it almost bothered me, because it was such a simple truth that is so hard for me to understand. And so I think just for the young moms listening and mothers of small children, like, you are not alone. We're either in it with you or we've been where you are, and Jesus is with you. You are not alone. And yeah. He sees every small act of faithfulness, every diaper you change, every tear you cry. And it's good work. It's holy work that you're doing. I would say, he didn't say that, but I'm going to say it.
I'll tell you one really practical thing. I think this is hopefully helpful. We'll see. So when my oldest, this is like 10 years ago, but when my oldest was a baby, I started this habit of doing my future self favors. And I think that it was probably born out of that thing where, like, you know, women our mom's age would say, like, it goes by so fast. Like, you're going to be so sad when this is over. And you're like, oh my word, I can't, I just want to sleep. but I remember I started it when he was a baby, and I would rock him at night. And I didn't do this every night, but I would give him a kiss and, like, you know, like, rock him in the room and then, you know, lay him down in his crib. But, like, so when I was ready to do it, like, here's the kiss, here's the, like, lay you down. And I said, and I know that when I'm older and when he's older, I'm going to wish I could kiss him one more time. And I'm going to wish that I could rock him one more minute. And so I would always kiss him one more time and rock him one more minute as a favor to my future self. And I know that sounds maybe crazy, but
no, it doesn't. I'm like tearing up over here.
I need to write a book about that.
So, like, literally, I was cooking dinner in my house the other night, and he was away at soccer, and he's 10, and I was like feeling sentimental about how, like, he's not a baby anymore, and I just kind of closed my eyes and, like, kind of like cashed in one of those, like, one last kisses and one last rocks, and I was like, I'm so glad I did that for future me. So it was just like, it goes fast. And so do little favors for your future self. Give them one last kiss and one more minute of rocking while you can, so you can cash that in later.
That's sweet, Rachel.
Well, I'm like a total ball baby over here thinking about how I need to be doing that.
One in each arm. You can do it. It's going to be fun.
Yes, exactly. So. Well, Amanda and Rachel, we just really appreciate your time today. We are just thrilled to have you guys on the show. We hope everyone goes and checks out all the She Reads Truth resources at shereadstruth.com, as well as please pick up a copy of this Bible. You will be inspired to read the text just because it is so beautiful. Of course, it is more than that. The Word of God is living and active. And so this Bible is not only beautiful, but will also profoundly impact your life. So thank you, ladies, for being on the show. We truly appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Good to talk to you guys.